Hello and welcome to Talks with the Feminine. I'm Annie Taylor, and this week you've got just me to listen to. And part of that is because I've had such a gap between episodes. So I'm sorry, listeners. It's been a bit of a crazy month. I'm sure everyone listening, especially if you happen to be from Victoria and more specifically Melbourne, can get your head around that as a concept. It's just been such a hectic time for everyone. But we seem to be almost to the other side of it to some degree, although I, you know, must cross my fingers on that one because I'm not totally convinced at this point. So it sort of feels like everyone's online celebrating, but I don't want to get my hopes too high up. I'm sure there's a bit of that going around too after this last few months and this crazy, crazy year. But anyway, you've got me this week because I guess I've just been mulling some things over, and I wanted to share a little story of mine, a bit of an ongoing story, I suppose. You know, it was nearly 2 years ago that I, and if you've sort of followed me a little bit, you might already know a bit about this, but it was about 2 years ago that I first bumped into Julie Tenner at a wine night, which was run by Mornington Peninsula. I think they're called Connect now. I have to look that up. But anyway, it was awesome. I, you know, listened to her speak for a while and I was a bit entranced, as most people find they are around Julie. It was a funny thing that she spoke and every woman in the room seemed to connect to what she was talking about, which really brought up for me something that I think I've always known, which is we all, as women, get kind of made to feel isolated from each other. But it's quite extraordinary how many things connect us and how much we have in common and how we see those mirrors when we speak to each other. And part of the reason that I wanted to make this podcast was because I thought, you know, sharing women's stories it's something very natural for other women to experience and kind of medicine for other women when they hear other women's stories. It's just sort of how we're programmed, I guess. But anyway, after I listened to her speak for a while, I sort of, you know, I got up my courage and I went over to have a talk to her. And I got to tell you, I felt very, had a bit of imposter syndrome kicking around, that's for sure. Anyway, I sort of thought, So I went over and sort of chatted to her for a little while I wanted to know how she knew so much about everything. And I was very keen to drink in as much of her sort of wisdom as I could in that single evening. What she said to me at one point, which sort of blew my mind at the time, was that she mentioned to me, you know, I said, well, how do you know these things? And she said, something I'll apparently never forget, that, you know, she must have been a bit like me, you know, when she was younger and really into sort of witchy things and the spiritual, and that's how it all kicked off. And at the time I thought, holy moly, this woman's so insightful. she just sees things that you would think were not obvious. And this is really where I get into my sort of story, because it was incredibly accurate. as a teenager, I think because I was raised in quite a feminist, I guess, family environment, I got into the witchiness thing in my teenage years really quite easily. I think I was probably about 13 or 14 when that, like, straight away when that kicked off. Even I think my mum bought me a book about teenage witchcraft, and I really, really took to it. I think all of the connection to nature, the empowerment, the self-empowerment that it involved, and really the spiritual journey that it sort of kicked me off on, it all just made perfect sense to me. Especially as someone who had looked into a lot of different religions and couldn't really find one that totally sat right with me. And this being not an organized religion really, made a lot more sense. And I did a lot of reading about Wicca and paganism and other forms of witchcraft. And again, none of the exact, you know, none of the ones that were really set out as having specific rules or guidelines. I didn't really, I enjoyed reading about those things, but I didn't quite feel like any of them completely sung true. So I, you know, I sort of went off on my own thing. And for a while I had a few sort of friends who were, you know, teenagers also getting into the witchiness. And we used to get together at my house and host circle and, you know, light candles and it was a lot of talking and a lot of, you know, light spellcraft, shall we say. wasn't anything too amazing. But, you know, some of them got a bit scared off and some of them lost interest. But for me, what really happened was that once that had sort of wrapped up, you know, I enjoyed the social aspect of the witchiness, and it was hard to keep it going without that. And what I found as an adolescent was that other than those people who had kind of got into it for a fleeting moment with me, most people who I spoke to about being a bit witchy would be, I mean, I'd be sort of met with, I suppose, judgment and eye rolling, or even, I suppose, fear, which to me was kind of, I didn't get it really, why people were afraid of this stuff, because none of it was scary to me. And it all seemed to be such a positive, affirming experience for me. So I really couldn't get on board with that. But what it did end up kind of bringing out in me was a lot of sort of shame and apprehension, and really just pushing all of these feelings down and kind of moving away from my own natural alignment with the witchiness, shall we say. And it was a bit sad, really. I sort of lost touch with all of that because I didn't think it was appropriate, and I was embarrassed. And I thought people would think that I was silly or scary, and I didn't really care for either. So to be honest, I ended up going a bit down the goth route instead for the rest of my teenage years, which was a whole other story. But yeah, I then, you know, many, many, many years later, found myself, you know, kind of still drawn to it, but not actively getting anywhere. And then I found myself at Seven Sisters and listening to Sequoia from the Shamanic School of Womancraft, speaking, and conducting quite a large circle because there were so many women who just craved this connection and witchiness from within, and it was just amazing. And so I started opening up again after that experience, after speaking with Julie, after, gosh, a lot of little experiences that just built up. I started holding solstice dinners again, talking about that in, extensively with my girls, and really they're really into solstice and equinox celebrations and the wheel of the year and change and growth and seasonal movements, and they really understand that for themselves, even at their little young age. It's been a big part of how we run our family. And it hasn't been hard to slot in because a lot of it is really where Christian and other religious celebrations sprung from. So it's not like a really complicated thing to introduce summer solstice around Christmas time. I mean, for us, we do it according to the seasons that are appropriate. We don't hold, Yule at the same time as Christmas because it doesn't make sense. So it is a bit tricky around Halloween because we're celebrating spring while everyone else is getting pumpkins out, and we've done Halloween in like May. But anyway, but they love it, and it's very about festivity and family, which are really, really key values for me. So it's sort of flowed quite beautifully. But there's still like a big apprehension on my part to share any of my witchiness really openly with anyone, much, and or to even, say the words. And I suppose, and I still don't subscribe to, I don't call myself anything particular. I don't align with a specific form of, witch or Wicca or any of that. Possibly a lot because a lot of those things, especially things like Wicca, they're sort of born out of a more contemporary view. And I think for me, it's more about that really historic, really, really way back when kind of form of looking at what a witch is. Which brings me to the next point for me, which is, I think why I identify with it as well is who the witches were in those hundreds of years ago times, or even thousands, depending on what you're looking at. And to me, even the term witch is a bit, it's a bit clunky. And I think that's because, to me, the women who were persecuted for being witches, and who had that name sort of thrust upon them, really, they didn't necessarily call themselves that. They were just women, powerful, confident, owners of their own self and their own destiny, and often they were herbalists or healers, thinkers. A lot of the people who got pulled up for being a witch didn't even, weren't any of these things either. They just, didn't they weren't fitting in society. They weren't following the new rules of society, or they were the kind of people that were still sitting outside of the newly emerging patriarchy, which has really, taken some pretty good solid root up until, well, now, and still fighting away. And it occurred to me that one of the reasons that I feel so apprehensive and nervous about identifying myself any particular way or being honest about these experiences, is simply that that patriarchal structure has made it so that women are conditioned to not feel confident enough to really announce who they are. And, you know, I always thought of myself as being quite a confident, you know, pretty in terms of my beliefs and my opinions, I've always been pretty good at putting them out there quite firmly, particularly if it was something intellectual or political. But even so, like, to talk about this stuff is very kind of awkward and unclear for me, even now, but certainly when I was younger. And really, I think one of the reasons that it's sort of a something that I think all those women that sat with me at Seven Sisters and listened to Sequoia speak, it's just, the reason there were so many is because we're all craving and we're needing and we're seeking. And I think the world's come to a point where it's ready for a move away from that patriarchal structure that cast powerful women asunder in those earlier days. And it's so funny because I haven't spoken to my children about being or not being a witch or whatever you want to call it. But whenever they watch cartoons or movies or whatever, where there's a protagonist who's a witch or a character that's a witch, I always say how much I like the witch. And I think, you know, my kids are like, what? They're supposed to be the bad guy. And like, there's no wonder that I was met with so much resistance from my peers when I was a teenager about witchiness, because they didn't really get it. And the only experience they had of it was these sort of, I guess, representations in television and film and books and whatever. And the reason I tell my kids I like them so much, I think, is that if you ever look at a character, even in these, it's funny, even in these representations where they try and make the witch the bad guy, if you look at it from the witch's perspective, she's always this really strong, powerful, take no shit kind of woman. And she just wants to do things her own way. And when people get in her way, that's when she gets pissed off, is the most prominent kind of archetype of the witch, even in these kind of contemporary ideas. And I think that's why it's been so kind of easy and really kind of gorgeous when these new, I suppose, interpretations have come out, like the Maleficent film that looks at her motivations instead of, you know, Sleeping Beauty and kind of washing over the witch character as just being the bad guy, goes back and looks at her motivations. Actually, my eldest daughter wants to watch Wicked at the moment because she can't get her head around watching The Wizard of Oz. She keeps saying, and she keeps kind of expressing that she doesn't understand why the witch behaves the way that she does, the big green witch. And she also, I think because I'm always saying how much I like the witch, she wants to kind of understand what that's about. And it's to me, it's, you know, I'm like, it's really hard to find Wicked anywhere. And, you know, obviously I can't take her to see it. I don't really know when I'll be able to, but one day I will. You know, it's funny how, I certainly feel that those particular versions of those stories, they really make my heart sing. I totally, get it. And I think the reason that they're so popular as well, and those are just two examples, there's like lots of other examples, but I think the reason they're so popular is it makes total sense. Actually another example is my daughter was reading the the Disney Beauty and the Beast story. And she wanted to know, she said to me, "Mum, why does the enchantress turn the prince into a beast?" And I explained to her that it was because he'd shown her such disdain that she wanted to teach him something about love and love for other as well as for self. And she was like, "Oh, that totally makes sense. So the witch is really the good guy here." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, I've totally planted a seed here." You know, that the reason for these, I guess, exhibitions of power and pissiness sometimes, you know, sometimes the witch is always, you know, sometimes the witch is just angry about something, and it's like, okay, let's open up what that's about. And why are we still painting these characters? Like, I mean, now these other media are opening up to sort of look at these points of view. But for me, stepping out of the shade of, and I'm sure for a lot of people, stepping out of the shade of that shame and that embarrassment and that, you know, cartoony bad guy image that freaked out my peers in high school, and also, and for me also stepping outside the bounds of being brought up in a fairly conservative Christian kind of environment, not even necessarily, not so much my family as you know, my peers actually, even those that weren't particularly devout, they're still, you know, raised in Christian households. You know, for me, you know, recognizing that the whole witchy thing is actually not anti-Christian for me, it's not the opposite, but and it can actually coexist quite beautifully within a Christian or a Catholic philosophy. But I have to step out of the shame that I feel in making others uncomfortable because they don't see it that way, or they might see it as, you know, this really, I don't know, dark, scary imagery, which is to me still all wrapped up in a patriarchal structure that painted women with power and women with skill as being dangerous and being dark and scary, and putting them in their place, frankly. But yeah, anyway, I've gotten off topic, but It is more prominent now in contemporary media to look at it from sort of the witch's point of view, from the powerful, strong woman's point of view in those images. But even in those representations where, you know, witches are supposed to be the bad guy, I think, you know, if you really look hard, you can see how that's actually maybe... it's not as cut and dry as that. None of it's as black and white as that. And it's actually an exciting prospect for me that the witchiness can be made to have a better understanding of the feminine and of women and of our history. Because really, you know, there's never anything that's just happening within a vacuum. The way things are the way they are because of where we've come from. And some of that's to do with the story that we pay attention to, and some of it's to do with the story that we ignore and that we don't talk about. So I guess here I am talking about it a bit more and inviting that in. And I want to embrace that image of the witch, and I want to embrace who I feel I am with the witchiness, and the term witch, because it's kind of been kept in this shadowy, unsure, a bit awkward place, not just for me, but just generally. There's so much more to it than just, Salem witch burnings or even medieval witch burnings. There's so much more to this sort of spiritual experience and wise women in so many different cultures, and just it looks different the more diversity you add to it. And it's just like it paints a more beautiful, more amazing image the closer you look at all of those things. So, whatever terminology people want to use, whether they want to use the witch word, the W word, or if they want to open it into womancraft or look at wise women throughout the ages or however you want to identify it. This is something I think we all could benefit from embracing, but certainly I'm going to embrace, because we've got to a period in history now where we need to bounce back a bit too. This kind of patriarchal, toxic masculine energy, and even, even the positive masculine energy to some degree has taken us quite a ways. But now it's time for a bit of feminine energy to make a comeback, I think. Not least of which because we're in a situation now where the world is actually coming to a crux of being a little bit in trouble with things like climate change and a myriad of other situations. And I think we need to be coming back more to that feminine approach, and that wisdom, women's wisdom, that really represents some change that actually feels what we need to feel so that we're not just keep on keeping on in this very masculine, just get shit done and don't think about it too hard kind of way. Not that I think masculine energy doesn't have its place. It's totally magnificent, but it's just I can see how the feminine needs a bit of rising now as well, as a lot of people have suggested. I totally get that. And with someone like, and I mean, I could do a whole podcast on just this, with someone like Donald Trump in the White House at the moment, and us all standing on the precipice of, are we still going to be stuck with him for another 4 years? How fucked actually are we? Oh God, there needs to be a definite surge of woman power and a lot of other elements as well. That we need. I mean, I personally totally agree with the shift that allows minorities as well in that country to really get angry. But again, I won't go into that too much because it's a whole other topic. But I do think that having the likes of that disgusting man in a position of such power is really symptomatic of a bigger issue, of some really, really people are scared of the witch, but really we should all be scared of what toxic masculinity has done and continues to do. And it gives me hope that I know the way in which the women that I know and love who have sons are raising their boys, that this isn't necessarily terminal. But I do think it's not good to have someone like that in a position of such power, and he needs to go. And so for my very, very small part, I'm sort of embracing that witch, and it makes me feel not no more, I don't feel shame anymore. I feel so uplifted by the notion that I'm not alone in that feeling, and that it is not an experience that was only mine, or only made sense to me, that it's very woman focused, and I think that's magnificent too. So, look, I'm going to wrap up there before I keep going forever. Obviously, I've called this a shorter one this week, particularly because it's just me. I'm hoping that my next guest will be Katie Parker, who is a postpartum doula in Gippsland, and she is fantastic and a friend of mine, and we actually met in Circle last year, so I feel like we've already been on a huge, magnificent journey together as well, and I can't wait to sort of share some of her story with you. It's definitely well worth a listen. So thank you for listening, and I hope you got something out of this little solo episode of mine, and I will see you next week.